So there is a classic scientific experiment called the Ultimatum Challenge. It's been conducted throughout the years in a variety of formats and ways, but the most common one being where person A is given 10 coins to split between him or herself and person B. So person A is given the coins and has to decide how many to offer person B. If person B accepts the distribution, then they both get the money. If person B rejects the offer, then no one gets paid. Now, almost always the two people in the experiment come to some sort of agreement, though the numbers can vary. But here is what never happens. It never occurs that the proposer keeps 9 and the receiver only gets 1. Now, it's true that the receiver would be better off with 1 rather than 0. I mean, that's basic math, but it never happens. The receiver says, "I would rather no one get anything than for you to have such an unfair distribution go your way. If you offer me 1 while you keep just 9, I'm going to reject it every time in hopes that maybe down the road you'll learn a lesson and more person A's along the way will not be so unfair the next time." Fairness is built into our minds, into our hearts, into our guts at a deep level from a very early age. If you don't believe me on that, I encourage you to go out, go to the elevator, go down to the first floor and walk around until you find a green hallway. It's affectionately known as our preschool wing. Go into the 3-year-old classroom and tell them, "This child gets all the toys today, and the rest of you are cleaning up after them." If I were you, I would start running for your life at that point. Ankle biters might take on a whole new meaning for you. At a very early age, kids know how to point out unfairness. It's built into us in ways that we can't even explain. At one point in our house, I'm pretty sure we had to ban the phrase, "no fair," because it was being so overused. We even have a phrase for this in our common language: what's fair is fair. And we've shortened that to just 2 words. Hey, fair's fair. Meaning the concept of fairness is self-evident. It needs no further explanation. We all know what it looks like, and we all know that things are supposed to be fair. That fairness is a goal we all ought to have in common. It's an ideal that every person should be striving for. And then we come today to an interaction between Jesus and his disciples and another person. At the end of Matthew chapter 19, a man comes to Jesus. We often call him the rich young ruler. And he comes and he asks him, "What do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And you may remember that Jesus told him something hard. He said to sell all your possessions, get rid of everything that keeps you from following me, and then come and follow me and be my disciple. And that man went away sad because he was unwilling to do so. Well, the disciples were right there. They saw this exchange, and Peter realizes, well, wait a second, he didn't, but I have. I mean, Peter literally is following Jesus wherever he goes. And as he's prone to do, he blurts out these words, "Well, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" And you know what he's getting at here. The story couldn't be clearer. There are people who are following Jesus and others who are not. And for Peter, it's not been so easy all the time. And so it's finally time to ask, "What's in it for me?" Right? "God, I've been putting in the work. I've been doing the shoulds. What now is coming to me?" It's only fair to ask, right? And Jesus answers him, "Don't worry. Following me will produce a life of abundance far more than you could have ever imagined." But as Jesus is prone to do, he illustrates it with a story, which brings us to our text for today. Matthew in chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. Listen as I read. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and he saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. And he asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "Those who were hired last only worked 1 hour," they said. "And you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work in the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. May God bless the reading of his word this morning. So here we have this landowner who needs workers to help bring in his harvest. And as was common in that day and is not uncommon today, there was a place to go and find day laborers, find workers to come out and give a hand. Once it was time to harvest grapes, you wanted to do it as quickly as possible to maximize the yield. And so the landowner goes out early that morning. The Jewish day was considered to be 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And so at about 6 a.m., first thing that morning, he goes out and he finds some workers there in that spot. And he says, "How about a day's work for a denarius?" And they say, "Sure." You see, a denarius was the standard payment for a day's work. It was a good wage. They were hoping someone would come by and offer them a denarius to come and work for the day. And that's exactly what they got. It allowed them to work. It allowed them to feed themselves and their family. And so these guys agreed to work. A denarius was what they were hoping for, and they're in the vineyard. A few hours later, around 9 a.m., he realizes he could use some more. And so he goes out and he finds some more workers. However, this time no specific pay is mentioned. The landowner only tells them that he'll give them what is right. Same thing happens at noon, needs more workers, so he goes out to get them. Still at 3 p.m., he wants more workers to come join, so he goes out and gets them. And then at about 5 p.m., goes out one more time. He sees the people standing around still throughout the entire day. They had just been standing there, and he asks them, "What are you guys still doing here? You're day laborers. Why aren't you out working?" And they respond, "Because no one has hired us." Well, he says, "I've got a job for you to do. Hop in the back of my pickup. We're going to my vineyard. We've got some work to do." Now, I said 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. They didn't start working until 5. So they couldn't have expected much, but they were grateful for anything that came their way. So once 6 p.m. rolls around, it's money time. It's payday. It's the time for everyone to get what they earned. And so did you hear what the landowner did? He tells his foreman, "Hey, put them in reverse order of how they came." I mean, he could have avoided this whole debacle from the beginning if he wanted to. So you might think that he's trying to make a point here. And so they line up the workers who showed up at 5 p.m. first and the workers who showed up first at the very end of the line. And the foreman hands them a denarius. And you know the conversation that starts happening in the rest of the line, right? We thought he said a denarius per day. We're talking a denarius per hour. This is fantastic. Can pick up a little something for the wife and the kids on the way home. I'm going to be a hero today. But then, the workers who started at 3 p.m., one denarius. The workers who started at noon, same thing. The workers who started at 9, same thing. And then we get to the workers who had been there the entire day. They got up early. They were on time to work. They did what they were supposed to do. They were in the spot waiting. They were hired and they worked throughout the entire day. They did the most work out of anyone. And the foreman gives them one denarius. 12 hours ago, they were thrilled to receive that wage. They were thrilled to get hired for that wage. But now, not so much. A couple weeks ago, I was on the way home from church and asking my 8-year-old what his lesson was about in Sunday school, and it had been on a parable of Jesus. And so we started talking about parables, and he asked me if I knew any, and I knew I was preaching on this, so I was like, I got a story for you. I love this one. Let me see what you think. So I tell him the story, and when I get to the end, he says, Dad? I said, yeah? Long pause. I know Jesus said that, but... Long pause. That seems really unfair. And we know what he's getting at, right? I mean, Jesus said this. It's got to be right, and yet something about it does not sit right with us. That's not the way things are supposed to work. And yet here we have the landowner going around paying everyone the same, no matter what they've done, no matter how long they were out there. And you heard the end of the story. Those workers who had been there all day, they weren't going to go silently. And so they began to grumble and they said, we have been out here all day. It's been hot. We worked through the heat. And yet all these people who showed up after us are getting the very same thing. It's not right. It's not fair. And listen to these words again. And the landowner says this, I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? Or are you envious because I am generous? I heard another comment about this story not too long ago. Last month, I got to attend the Appalachian Outreach mission trip. Wonderful experience, probably the best part of the day. I've talked about meals twice now, but that breakfast, I can't stop talking about it. It's fantastic. The Catholic Church there provides the breakfast for our group, and then there's a man who gives a devotion every morning. And his devotion is simply, he has many passages of Jesus' words memorized, and he has some props, and he presents them in a real and engaging way. And one of the mornings, this was our story, and he has the whole thing memorized, and he goes through it, and he says it, and he gets to the end where the landowner says these words to his workers. And I'm sitting next to one of the members of our trip. I don't want to out him here. Let's just say he's the leader of the trip, and his name rhymes with Deeves Donaldson, okay? And he leans over to me, and he says, yeah, let's see how many workers he gets tomorrow. Now, Steve's in construction. He knows the business. And you know what? 100% right. This is no business plan. You go to the bank with the business plan of, I pay everyone the maximum amount of money. They're going to laugh you right out of the building before the loan application is finished. No, this story was never about how to run a successful business, because God's kingdom does not run like a business. And thank God for that, that his kingdom is not about striving and earning and impressing. No, this story is about God's grace. It's about God's generosity. It's about how God deals with his family. God is more than free to do what he pleases with his own love and grace, and can choose to give it freely to whomever he chooses. You see, we always want what we've earned until we've earned the wrong things. We always want what's coming to us until we don't like what's coming. We want what's right until it's right for us to suffer the consequences of our actions. We seem to only be envious of others who seem to have gotten more. We never like to compare ourselves to those who have gotten less. The workers who came late in the day, those still had needs, and the landowner chooses to meet those needs. The truth is that the landowner's actions, this act of unfair pay, was not unfair at all. The workers who agreed to a denarius at the beginning of the day got exactly what they were promised. They were not cheated in any way, but they could not see it anymore once they started comparing. The comparison game gets us into all sorts of trouble. It warps our concept of fairness. Everything for them changed, and they were blinded to grace and mercy and generosity. When it comes to grace, brothers and sisters, we are all in need. We are all on the same playing field. We all fall short of God's standard, and there is no one who can escape it. Grace is what sets God's kingdom above all other kingdoms. This doesn't negate fairness in any way. God is a just and fair and right God and will never act unaccordingly, but fairness is just the baseline. There is something better. Grace goes above and beyond, and its abundance is there for all who want it. For all who want it. From drug dealers to deacons, from pastors to prostitutes, from cheaters to churchgoers, all are in need. And the good news for us is that God is generous and merciful and willing to give it. I think it's a good time, anytime we encounter a story like this, to ask, who am I in this story? So who are you in this story? Have you been working all day in the field, working from the very beginning of the day? Have you put in your time working for God? And if so, do you still see a place for newcomers to come and be a part of that same work? Or do you ever find yourself envious because God is generous? Are you someone who got picked up to work in the harvest along the way? Like those workers, they were not expecting such generosity at the end of the day. So have you ever experienced God's grace in ways that you never saw coming? Let your gratitude compel you to continue the work that God has called you to. Or perhaps you find yourself on the outside of all this God stuff that we talk about so much around here. Do you hear that question and you know it's for you? Why are you out here standing around? Well, I'll tell you today, there is room for you here. Know that you are invited today to be a part of God's work in the world. For as Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And there's one more character in this story. As we've talked about the entire time, the landowner is God. So technically, you can't find yourself in the landowner. That's got, you know, you can't be like, I'm God in the story for sure. But perhaps we can look at this story and still see an example that we need to follow. Maybe Jesus' story operates on multiple levels. And today you see yourself as someone who is called to go out and find those standing around and invite them in to the goodness and the grace of God, to be a part of all that he is doing in the world right this very moment, the work of bringing his kingdom to earth. Whether we've been at it a long time or are brand new to a life of faith, all of us stand in need of a God who gives generously and graciously. So what will we do with it? With gratitude in our hearts, let us give grace to all around us and work at what God is calling us to and invite others to be a part of the same. After all God has done for us, seems to me it would only be fair. Let's pray together. God, you are a good God. You love us unconditionally, even when we don't love you back. You give us grace when we mess up. And even better, you call us to be part of your work in the world. We thank you for that privilege. We thank you for that opportunity. Let us always keep our eyes on you and follow you wherever we go. In your name that we pray. Amen.